This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Sunday, January 23, 2022, the third Sunday after Epiphany, by Father William Doc Holliday.
You are the body of Christ. In the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It is a very familiar analogy that the Holy Spirit uses to describe the church, the body of Christ. We hear it quite often, and rightfully so. A lot of times we go to the different parts of the body, how the Holy Spirit gifts the different parts of the body. Those are all well and good and necessary. But what I want to do today is step back and see the forest for the trees. To basically sort of, why does St. Paul use the analogy of our bodies? It's because we all have one. We all know how they work. We all know how it feels when something's not right with them. This is why the Holy Spirit uses it. And he really emphasizes this analogy. The second reading today, you have an option, which is kind of common in our day and age. You have an option to shorten it up. I didn't want it shortened up. That was a long reading. And why? Because that whole reading focused on this analogy. All kind of this part of the body does this, this part of the body does this, and this part of the body can't work well if it doesn't do this, that, or the other thing. Goes into great detail. Much more detail than he goes in. For instance, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Couple sentences. The kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price. Couple sentences. And that went on and on. Why? The Holy Spirit wants to emphasize this whole idea of the body because we get it, or we should. This is why we need to pay attention to not only the nuances that go on here, but to step back and look at sort of the captain obvious things about the body and why the Holy Spirit would analogize it to the body. Because there's misunderstanding about it in our day. For instance, if the question is posed concerning the body of Christ, who's the head of the church? I beg you, Catholics, brethren, I beg you not answer that by responding the Pope. He's not the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. That's what it says. There's really no debate on that whole issue. He's the head of the church. Now, and I am not trying to confute, nor deny, nor even critique what some early church fathers and throughout the history of the church is presented in the way. Well, Christ is the invisible head of the church, but the Pope is the visible head of the church. If that is understood correctly, absolutely true. But in our day and age, it's not understood correctly. Why would you say that? I would say that because about 2 years ago, there was a cardinal, a prince of the church, that there was some bantering going back and forth between some people who were critiquing something and where this cardinal was. And not only was the cardinal so bold to say the Pope is the head of the church, these were his words. The Pope is the church. That is heresy. But a cardinal said it. He's a prince of the church. I am not, maybe he misspoke. Maybe he was excited about something, because you can get that way when you're talking about, and you just start blah, 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 you know. But that's not true. Christ is the head of the church. We all have a body, and we know how important our head is. You get a loud noise or something flies up at you or something like that. What do you do? What do your arms do out of muscle memory, out of instinct? They don't go like this to cover your heart. What do? Your arms go up in front of your face. Why? Because your body knows how important the head is. That's Jesus Christ. No head, no life, no body, no function. Jesus Christ. He's the brain of the church. He is the way, even the sense organs of the head, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth. Everything the church says must come from Jesus. Everything that the church sees must be seen through the lens of Christ. What you hear, the nose thing. How does that work into this whole thing? In the Old Testament, it says that God is pleased with the sweet savor that lifts up to heaven, the prayers of his people. We should know when something smells bad in the church. We should smell, so to speak, with the nose of Jesus. He's our head. He's our head. And now, again, I said, if rightly understood, you can go with this invisible head, but where you start to lose it with human beings, we pay more attention to the visible than we do the invisible. Invisible stuff is easy to blow off. Visible things aren't. That's why a lot of people pay attention, even sometimes more than they should, to things that are visible. So to use the whole analogy of the body, and it is an analogy. It means that we take what we know about the human body and apply it to the things that are. Christ is the head. So what could the papacy be? Notice I said the papacy, not the pope. The papacy, what could that? The spinal column. Because guess what? If the head, the brain, is disconnected from the body, there's no spinal column, there's no messages from the head that get to the body. That is a very, very grievous thing to happen to the body. You can't live. You disconnect the spinal column. You disconnect that brain stem. It's over right then and right there. That's a reality of things. The body needs the spinal column. It is a necessity for its life. The papacy is a necessity for the body to work well and in order and synchronized. This is why God created our bodies to analogize this reality that is the church, that is the body of Christ. We need that spinal column that is the papacy, and then what branches out of the spinal column is the central nervous system. That's the magisterium and all the ministers that are involved in the magisterium. That's the central nervous system. It sends the messages of Christ, should, through the body. Those messages must be clear. Those messages must be exactly how they're sent. Because when there is an interruption or a hindrance of the messages from the head that go to the body, most of us know someone, either in our families or friends, or that have a neurological problem. Neurological problems are really insidious because your mind wants something to happen with your body, but it doesn't work. Fill in your blanks of the neurological problems that some people may have. It is so disturbing to see somebody who, they want to try to talk, but they can't. They want to grab something, but they can't. Or their bodies, my leg does this all the time, or my arm does this all the time. That is what happens when there's this disconnect between the brain, the central nervous system, and the different parts of the body. They've got to work all in sync. But the brain and the central nervous system tell the members of the body what to do. This is why things are set up the way they are. The brain never looks at the foot and, hey, what do you want to do, foot? Hey, arm, what do you want to do? No, the arm does what the brain, the head tells it. Same with the legs, same with the organ systems. They do what the brain tells. And when they don't do what the brain tells it, there is a very, very serious problem. The body of Christ. We never look away from the head or the central nervous system. It sends those messages from the head directly to us, to the members of the church, to do what the head wants us to do. So stuff that we're seeing nowadays, let's dialogue with all the members of the body. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Hey, foot, what do you think we should do? Hey, hand, what do you think we should do? That's a non-issue. The hand and the foot shouldn't be doing anything that they want to do. They should be doing what the head tells them to do, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lumen Gentium, one of the Vaticans, is the Second Vatican Council. The church is structured with hierarchical organs in which ministers are invested with a sacred power. It's how central nervous system works. There are impulses that come from the brain, and they go down the spinal column, and they are out the body, and then the body works. It does what the head wants it to do. Bad problems when the foot's doing something that the head doesn't want it to do. Okay? The body would never ask the foot to do, what do you think we should do? It's a part of the body that functions with the body. And if it doesn't, there's a very bad problem that goes on. So you know, this is the head, Jesus Christ, the spinal column, an analogy for the papacy, the magisterium, the nervous system. But we're the members. So that means we need to know what the head has told us always. Because the body is, you hear the word surprise occasionally now from some quarters. Oh, don't be taken aback if the Holy Spirit surprises us with something. Surprises us. That flies in the face of this analogy of the body. If you really think about it, there is no surprise in the body that is ever positive. If you're surprised by something in your body, it ain't good. Use bad grammar. I'm a good analogy of that because I've had a lot of surprises. I blew a ligament in my knee one time. And I jumped back up after the pain went away for a couple seconds. I jumped back up, and guess what? I fell right back on the ground. I was really surprised that my leg didn't hold me up anymore. I went to the doctor's office one time, and I had some stuff going on, and I was, kind of positive about things, and I feel fine. He was positive about it. Guess what? I walked in his office, and I was surprised when he said, "You got cancer." That was a surprise. It wasn't good. I did have one person in the adult forum came up to me and said, "Well, there's a pleasant surprise when you're pregnant." I said, "I can't give you that one." I said, "Because that's not really a surprise. It can be unexpected, but it shouldn't be a surprise if things are what they are in a marriage." Okay? Not a surprise. All right? We're laying the groundwork for that one. We don't need surprises in the body. They're bad. The body's supposed to work like it always has. Yeah, we take that for granted. The whole thing with my knee. You know, after that happened, I was kind of dumbfounded. How much you take for granted, like throwing your legs out and getting up from bed in the morning, as opposed to reaching over and grab some crutches. Yeah, that's surprising. Thank good. We're parts of the body, and we're supposed to work in conjunction and the way they always have it. This is the church. St. John Chrysostom points out, when we look at 1 Corinthians, in this letter where he gives us an analogy of the body, St. Paul says, you're the body of Christ, individually members of it. Let's not ever forget the context of the scripture. It's 1 Corinthians. It's not addressed to an individual. It's addressed to a church, a particular church, the church at Corinth. There were also churches in Ephesus, Antioch, Jerusalem, Galatia. There was a bunch of churches. They were all parts of the body. They are parts of the body, the universal Catholic Church, but they're unique in the way they do things. Paul's emphasizing parts of the body, as unique as they may be, your hand is different than your eye, your stomach is different than your foot, dramatically different. They cannot exercise the same function. They're not supposed to, or you die. You need all the parts. Lumen Gentium goes on, actually presents this. Why the hierarchical thing? Why this order? Why not? Why isn't it just me and my Bible and me and the Holy Spirit? Why isn't it like that? Because that is arbitrary human order, which another word for that could be anarchy. Again, and that's like that insidious neurological disease when members of the body, your arms and your legs, are doing what they want to do as opposed to what the head wants them to do, that's a bad problem. So a hierarchical organism works, if it's working properly, that negates that. It also negates a subhuman despotism. The head can't do what it needs to do without the body. That's why Jesus Christ established it. He wants us to advance his kingdom in this world. He wants us to convert people out there from the darkness and bring them into the Catholic Church. That's what we're supposed to do. That is our mandate, and we can't do it to our full potential unless the body's working the way it should. The message being clearly sent to the body and the body responding to those messages. An early Christian commentator, referred to as Ambrosiaster because they don't really know his name, but he is well respected, whoever it may have been. One of his early writings said, the diversity of the members of the body unites for the purpose of ensuring the body meets its potential. We need to meet our potential as a church. That means we need to be like St. Paul. We need to be able to reach people where they are. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ established particular areas of the church in different places right after the transition. I heard this all the time. I very rarely hear it anymore because people kind of get it now. It's been 10 years. But when it first happened, you can't go to Incarnation because it's not a real Catholic church because they're not under the jurisdiction of the Bishop of Orlando. It's like, yeah, just like the Byzantines aren't down in St. Nicholas on Sand Lake Road, just like the Maronites are not down in Dr. Phillips, or like the Ukrainian Catholics up in Apopka, they're not under the jurisdiction of the Bishop of Orlando either, but their Catholic churches are different parts of the body. Why? Because they minister to people of certain, let us say, proclivities. All right? What? The Maronites. It started in Lebanon. Lebanese people go. Other people go, but that's primarily what they're for. We're not going to have a Maronite church because they do things different. They use Aramaic in their liturgy. That's not unified. Let's do away with them. All of a sudden, guess what? You just disaffected a bunch of Maronites. Same thing with the Byzantines. Same thing with the Ukrainian Catholics. Same thing with traditional Mass people. But there's a part of the body that has been working for over 1,000 years in a certain way. All of a sudden, come up and go, we got to stop that. That's bad. Well, I'm not thinking so. It's worked just fine for the order of the entire body and for the full potential of the body of Christ for over 1,000 years. That's reality. I'm not going there. All right? I'm just saying, the body's been the body for 2,000 years, and the way the Lord and the Holy Spirit have worked it out is way more. Because, you know, never lose sight of this whole thing. Because you can lose, again, because bodies are physical and we all are into physicalities and things like that. The whole head, spinal columns, nervous system thing. Don't ever lose sight of the fact that your body also has a soul. And where do we get that? Where does that come into play? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the soul of the body. It gives it life. It gives it direction. Because there's a lot of bodies in this world who do what they want to do, but when they come to Christ, they do what he wants them to do. That's what the Holy Spirit does for the body of Christ. He inspires, he vivifies, he animates the church. But he can never, because he's God, dogma of your faith, God is immutable. He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Consequently, the message that he speaks is the same yesterday, today, and forever, or it's contradictory. Or if he's got to change it, there was an imperfection there. Imperfection means that it doesn't come from God. So it's got to be consistent. I mean, we see in our day where there is a lack of consistency in what the head has said and what is communicated to the body by some parts of the nervous system. Acts chapter 4. There is no other name, speaking of Jesus, there is no other name under heaven given to children of men by which it is necessary to receive life. That's pretty explicit, is it not? That's pretty direct. That's a message from our head. Jesus Christ brought to truth to us by our soul, the Holy Spirit. Then you got people down. Well, it might not be necessary for this group of people. It might not be necessary for people who believe that. It might not be necessary for them. That's not what the soul or the head says. That is a bad message. That is a truth interrupted. That is a truth that's not being communicated. So when we look at this analogy of the body, you step back and see the forest for the trees. Appreciate this. Because if the Holy Spirit speaking to St. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God has so adjusted the body that there may be no discord in the body, and that the members may have the same care for one another. Again, I'm not going there, but just as a broad example, 6-8 months ago, everything in the church was just, everybody just got along just fine. You do this mass, you do that mass, you, and everything. Now all of a sudden, look, there's all kind of turmoil. There's all kinds of discord within the body. Accusations being made, terms being thrown out for one another. That proves that whatever that message is being communicated is wrong, objectively, because it fosters discord. We're supposed to care for one another. You're supposed to care for Maronites. You're supposed to care for Byzantines, just like you care for one another because they're Catholics. You're supposed to care for the people in diocesan parishes because they're Catholics. But when some message says you don't care about this group anymore, it's a serious problem. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.